This is something that every single one of us needs to aspire to. Why? Because really what prophecy is about is my and your and every one of our listeners' life plan or divine plan. Unless you have prophecy, unless you are asking to be directed by the divine plan for your soul, you're going to live a good life, but actually not your life.
Hello and welcome to Spiritually Hungry. How you doing?
Very good.
Excited to have a conversation with you.
Yes.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
And all of those listening.
All of them.
Today I'm very excited about our topic. We are going to speak about intuition.
Well, and beyond.
I'm just in the middle of a sentence, sweetheart. So, as I was saying, we're going to talk about intuition, but more specifically, we want to dive into the four levels of our intuition. So first, I want to just give a definition of intuition because it varies depending on if you're looking at it from a scientific perspective or a Kabbalistic perspective or any other spiritual perspective. So intuition can be tricky to explain. Some call it a sixth sense. And I think it's tricky because our senses can be deceiving, yet they are revealing. So how do you know when something is true or where it's coming from? And how do you know to trust it? As Kabbalah teaches, we live in the 1% realm, which is a pinhole view of our world. But often we take that view very seriously. And then the 99% realm we know is out there too. And I think intuition lies somewhere in the middle of that. And when it strikes, logic and reason might be challenged. So take the story of Aline McMahon, who'd been planning to visit Istanbul. Just before the trip, she felt a hunch, an inner push to cancel her flight. And we hear many stories like this, right? Our son was just sharing one with us from a woman that was supposed to be in the towers on 9/11. And she, anyway, different story, but back to Aline. So only later was the wisdom of her of this choice revealed. Just as she would have arrived, the massive earthquake of 1999 decimated the area, killing and injuring thousands. Others have been guided in positive directions through unseen urgings. Einstein called intuition a sacred gift that helped inspire some of his best ideas. Oprah Winfrey claims to have trusted the still small voice of intuition her entire life, and countless more credit intuition for helping them find jobs, relationships, etc. But truly, we do, most of us, until you learn to pay attention to it and you learn to decipher what comes from the 1% realm versus the 99%, most of us doubt that we can be guided to make the best decision in business or to find our soulmate by this thing called intuition. So what is intuition? I think more importantly, I think our viewers are probably wondering, how do I cultivate that? How do I grow that? So what is intuition? Rather than being the opposite of logic or reason, recent studies suggest that intuitive thinking is an adjunct skill that can be developed and sharpened. According to clinical psychiatrist Dr. Judith Orloff, intuition operates through the entire right side of the brain, the side that perceives patterns and big picture perceptions, as well as through the hippocampus and the gut. As for those gut feelings we talk about, our digestive tracts are in constant communication with the brain via the estimated 100 million neurons lining them. Clearly, intuition is a whole body experience. So science supports all this, but we're obviously going to talk about a different part that we lead with our soul. But it's interesting that all these different things are set up in our bodies to help us be able to become aware of when intuition is guiding us. Dr. Orloff also explained the idea of women's intuition, which I thought was kind of interesting. We hear that a lot. I don't know if men like to hear it, but from a psychological perspective, she explains that because the corpus callosum, the white matter connecting right and left brain hemispheres, is thicker in women, they can more easily integrate the analytic mind when emotional and the gut feelings arise. So we want to talk specifically about the four levels of intuition.
Right. So before we go into the four different levels, which I think is really important, I'd say a few preliminary ideas. First, that this is not a nice to have. This isn't just sort of a you know, some people have it, some people don't. Unless
everybody has it. Let's just be super clear.
Right. But unless we actually develop our intuition, I would say even go higher into the four levels that we're going to discuss, it is unlikely that we're going to actually live the life that we're meant to live. Because the universe, The light of the Creator is giving us messages all the time. And unless we find the way to be more in tune with those messages, to hear them, to receive them, to act upon them, we're actually not going to live the life we're supposed to be living.
Did you know, and I didn't know this actually until I started to kind of think about this more, the U.S. Office of Naval Research is currently working on methods such as virtual stimulation to help soldiers' intuition, like to tap into that in high-pressure scenarios.
Interesting.
Isn't that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to hear more about that. But it reminds me, you know, Daniel Kahneman, in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow, he speaks about, you know, that there's two ways to think, and that his idea is that intuition is actually the culmination of all the wisdom, all the information that a person has. That's why a doctor in the middle of a surgery might know the exact right decision to make, even though it's not sort of a thought process that goes on in his mind, but simply all the years of practice and experience. So that's one level, right? So intuition can come, and I know it's true. I mean, you know, even as I get older.
That's a very scientific understanding.
Right. I know that I can meet somebody and I can very much, you know, ascertain the type of person they are much more quickly than I could 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
I can do that with relationships too, right? It's where you're...
So that's one level. But I think where we want to go, which I think is more important, is this understanding that we're living a life where everything is a message, right? Imagine, you know, even those of us who are maybe of our listeners who think that they're intuitive, you know, how often do you get a message? Is it once a year, once a month, once a week, once a day? It's not more often than that. But in reality, the light of the Creator is giving us messages all the time. And you know, I like to think about it as, you know, the universe conspiring for our good. But again, unless you're open to that, unless you're aware of it, unless you're listening for it, you're going to miss it.
Do you ever have those moments where this happens to me a lot? Like, I'll have like a nagging thing of like, oh, something random that doesn't really make sense in terms of what I'm doing. Like, I'll think about orange juice or like, oh, maybe we, like, even on a grocery list, I'll actually be in a store. And I keep looking at the soy sauce and I'm like, but I don't think we need it. Do we need it? And I go home and sure enough, Abigail's eating sushi. Do we have soy sauce? We don't, right? Or like I'll be thinking about something and then like hours later, that thing actually is right in front of me that I needed. Like you get those signs the more that you grow this part of yourself.
And I think using the soy sauce is a perfect example. The idea is, and again, I hope I explain this well, right? That the universe is constantly conspiring for our good. Which literally means like something, my big life decisions, I can call upon those messages. No, the reality is that for every step that you take, there's a message. And even something as trivial, relatively, as getting soy sauce for your kid, that's the truth and the messages are there all the time. So just like it's there for the soy sauce, it's there for your big life decision. And I think it's about opening up our mind, our consciousness to the fact that not only is the universe conspiring for our benefit, and that the messages are coming all the time in all areas for all things, and that it's actually a necessary part of our development as a human being, certainly develop our spiritual development, to become more and more attuned. So much so that I would say to our listeners that you have to get, if you think you're a spiritual person, one of the important tests or gauges needs to be, you know, would you say that today more than last year, today more than last month, you're more in tune and receiving more of those messages that are coming to you?
It's so interesting too, because I can tell you, even a lot of the things that I've written or books that I've written, it was something that at the moment, right, whether it's a story or an exchange that I've had with somebody, it was a moment that kind of was bigger than the moment. And then years later, I'm writing about it, right? Or it's become like a whole idea or a bigger concept for me and for others. It's those moments. And you start, the more you pay attention to it, the more you're able to recognize it when it's happening as being something bigger and different.
Yeah, very much so. And for me, it's probably some of the most exciting messages is that if I look at the important concepts, spiritual concepts to me, I've been studying this for over 40 years, but the concepts that are foremost in my mind that I've been developing, thinking about, teaching about the past 5 years are very different than 10 years ago, very different than 20 years ago. And for me, that's one of the greatest indications of these messages, because I know that they're not coming from me, that they're, you know, so in the fact that I either, you know, I'll read something like even just happened to me today, where you literally are led down this rabbit hole, for lack of a better example. And you're coming, you really feel you're being guided by the creator to an idea, to an idea that, you know, you get the inklings of, and then you develop it more, then it becomes more and more part of your life. So for me, probably the greatest area of inspiration around these messages that we're receiving is this idea that, you know, I always say this, I never want any lecture that I give, anything that I share, to be of me, right? But rather to be directed by the light of the creator. What are the ideas? And this can relate to something that we speak about a lot, but the idea of newness, mm-hmm. is that if you understand that the energy around us is being renewed all the time, you're being renewed all the time, both physically and certainly spiritually, then if you're getting the same message today than you did 10 years ago, that means you're not connecting to the new light that's being revealed now by the new messages. You know, and again,
I always get excited by those kinds of thoughts that feel different than the ones you had
must be. And I often say that.
And not just thoughts about your life, but things that you read that you understand in a different way. And
for sure, in a deeper way.
Yeah.
And that if, you know, we've said this before, but I think it's important. Like if I was the same person a year from now as I am today, meaning with the same thoughts, I'd be very concerned, right?
I'd be very bored.
but you have to be developing, right? The way you develop is by being open and more attuned to the messages that are coming from the outside all the time, which is, I think, both exciting, inspiring, but maybe most importantly for our listeners to understand, necessary. This process of receiving messages is something that everybody has to be going through all the time.
So that's why I think that this will probably be interesting, maybe surprising to our listeners, that there are four levels. I think most are familiar with the first one, which is just intuition. It's when your soul is leading you. You don't have absolute clarity, but you have a sense that this is the right direction. It's kind of like the gut feeling, woman's intuition, that thing that says, you know, like, Aline, don't get on the plane, that kind of thing. Did you want to add to that?
No, I think that's the most basic level. I think right. we'd like to take our listeners as to, so what's beyond that?
Correct. I just want to make sure if you wanted to add to that first level.
Michael. No, you did it so well.
Oh, thank you. The second is divine inspiration. This is clearer. Your soul knows that this is the right direction, and it's something that comes from inside of you. So I think that the way I would explain or describe this is when your internal matches your external. So whatever you are putting out there in the world, your actions, your thoughts, your intentions are coming from deep within you. And then that aligns you to that energy that helps you see clearly.
Yeah, you can explain it like that.
Or I would explain it.
No, I'm just thinking this is my experience of it, right? So my experience of it is and now, because we deal so often with people coming to us with news, questions, a need for advice or direction. So I can clearly use two examples. So when somebody comes to me, and thankfully, and I really believe this is not because of any of my own work, but you know, there's this idea that if you're doing for others, the light of the creator will be giving you the messages for others. So a person comes to me and he or she has a problem or an issue, a question they have. And in the conversation, sort of the direction becomes clear to me. Okay, you know, are you thinking about this or what about that? The direction becomes clear. I would relate that to the level called intuition.
Right.
And every once in a while, there's like, it's clear. This is exactly what you need to be hearing. And I personally get very, very excited.
So it's more of a definitive.
It's very definitive and it's definitely not coming from me, right? It's, you know, like you said, it's called divine inspiration. It's actually the literal translation, which is a phrase that is used in many of the ancient texts, is Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, which has obviously different connotations in Christianity, but maybe not because I believe it comes from these Kabbalistic understandings, be that as it may. So divine inspiration is this clarity that comes about a person, about a situation. You know, I often wonder, because again, I feel very strongly both of the times when I'm having an intuitive conversation with somebody who has a question or needs an answer, direction. So where, you know, to me, it's not 100% clear. This is the answer, but we get there by process of moving forward in the conversation. And then at the end, it's clear to them. It's clear to me what the answer should be, what the direction should be. This is the other case.
The first one.
That was the first one, right? The second, which I would call divine inspiration.
Right. So the first intuition, because you said divine inspiration. First is intuition. Right. So that's coming more from, you have clarity, but it's coming from thought.
It's coming from thought and process.
Correct. And experience. second, the divine inspiration, there actually is no thought. It's kind of what...
Well, it can be in right, the process
of
thought.
You answer it almost before your brain's like, wait, you feel compelled to say it because it's going through you.
Right.
And then after your mind's like, yes, that's right. But it's a completely different feeling and process because it's coming, like I said, from internal, like in your, I want to say heart, but it's not. It's like, but it's that part of your body. It's going through you.
Right. Right. And the second one is complete clarity. And I've had these conversations with the people where they had a question or they were going through something. And I tell them because it becomes
definitive
to me. This is exactly what you need to do. I always wonder whether people actually listen to me or don't, but that, you know, I don't really care so much.
You don't really, I'm sure when you say that, because you don't really speak in those terms. So I think that
every once in a while I do. You've been on calls where I've said that. Where I have no question. This is exactly either the problem or.
Yes, the no question.
Because I try to be honest, right? So if I feel it's more intuitive, I want to let the process go and I have a conversation. But every once in a while, we get to that point where I would call divine inspiration where, oh no, absolutely, this is the problem or this is the issue or this is what you need to do. I find that very exciting, again, because I think it's a manifestation of that divine spirit, that divine inspiration, when you gain to clarity about a situation, a problem, or an issue.
Yes. I was just thinking about something that happened earlier, right before we started recording. I was, you know, I always organize whenever I go into any room. And so I did. And then I walked to the front of the room to just see, I don't even know what. And then I found something that I really needed today that shouldn't have been here, that got delivered downstairs. And if I hadn't actually walked over there, I would have had to do a lot of things later in the day for this thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing, right? That was just like, that's the first level. But still, it's that guy.
I actually, with you, have the opposite the opposite experience.
But you walk in a room and make a mess?
No. I walk in your room and I know that something that I put there isn't there anymore. Then I have to ask you
where
you hit it.
Yes, you're very intuitive. Okay, the third level.
The opposite of divine inspiration.
I will divinely inspire you. The third level is prophecy.
Right.
I love this word. This is not reserved for the prophets alone. It's coming from the outside, from the light of the creator, a feeling that you must do something. So.
Yeah, I love this word. And I think for maybe many of our listeners, it's a kind of a strange word. It has religious connotations. It has historic connotations. Well,
Taylor Swift is modernizing that.
Oh, right.
That
right.
word That's all a, over the place.
I totally forgot.
I love true. It. Yeah, it's actually one of my favorite songs. But. So this is the thing. It's a feeling that comes from, it's something that you're, it's almost like a calling. Is that right. How you explain it? It's like right. You're compelled, you must do this. So now it's almost like it's not your thought, which is the first one in your head. It's not even the part of your chest, that heart that's like, okay, this is, you know, definitive. But now it's almost like your body is like jumping into like, this must happen. I must do. And logic really isn't there for the most part.
Right. And again, I'm very excited about the topic of prophecy. Again, I really enjoy learning the historical context, you know, in the literally the prophets. But
would you want to share a little bit about that?
I
know it's very, very heady.
It's been lengthy,
but yes. What excites you most about that?
So my two favorite prophets, Jeremiah and Isaiah.
I love those names too.
And with Jeremiah, for example, he, like you said, it's a calling. And when Jeremiah was first called, you know, he's very reticent. He says, you know, I'm not worthy, right? And then the message comes, you know, you need to be the messenger. And then there's that phrase, you know, I am here. He says to the creator, he says, I am here. Send me to where you will. So what I get inspired about in the lives of the prophets, certainly the major prophets, is that total commitment to hear, you know, call it the voice of God or the calling from the divine. But really what it is available for every single person in our generation, even to say, you know, I want to live my life based on the divine plan for my life, which, and again, and one more thing, and then one of my favorite, and this repeats itself often in the prophecy, but in the original words in the Hebrew, in the ancient Hebrew are, Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemo, and behold, the word of God came to me to say, right? To prophesize, to share. And what I think...
Wait, say the last part.
Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemo, and the voice of the word of God came to me or was revealed to me to share it. That's often how the prophecy begins. But...
And you need to be at a certain level to be able to discern.
Well, so this is the point.
How do you know?
Well, I want to say two.
Where that's coming from.
Two very important ideas related to this. First is that this is something that every single one of us needs to aspire to. Why? Because really what prophecy is about is my and your and every one of our listeners' life plan or divine plan. If I would ask one of our listeners, your desired plan. Well, certainly more than our desired plan, but this is a very important slightly nuanced idea, which I think is really, I'm excited to share with our listeners, and I really hope it's impactful for our listeners. If I asked many of our listeners, you know, everybody, I'm assuming, listening to this podcast is either spiritual, desire, and dream spiritual. What is your spiritual life? You know, what's your hope from your spiritual life? Where do you want it to take you, right? I think many people think that life, and certainly their spiritual life, is this sort of meandering path. You know, I do my yoga, I meditate, I become a better person, maybe I'm less reactive, I take a Kabbalah class, you know, but I'm sort of meandering through life, becoming a better person, feeling a little bit better about myself, and so on and so forth. That's a very... Why are you laughing?
Just know how you're thinking. Yes,
that's a very dangerous thought. Because the truth is, and I use two examples, I've shared this recently, is that there's a statement from one of the Kabbalists who said that, you know, you have to know that life, more importantly, your life plan, is a very narrow bridge. Mm-hmm. Why use that phrase, a very narrow bridge? Because you actually don't have leeway. You don't have those shoulders on the road that you can go in and out and around.
You need to be steady and straight on that narrow bridge.
You have an exact process that your soul needs to go through. Rav Ashlag, one of the great Kabbalists, uses the example from the moment of birth to the moment a person leaves this world is a line. It's a very narrow line to which one should adhere if he or she is to actually accomplish what their soul came to this world to accomplish. So that's the first point, which I think is really important, that it's really important that we accept that, first of all, there is a divine plan for our lives, and that our desire should not be to generally be a spiritual person, sort of, you know, as we said, meandering, you know, through a winding path, but rather to how do I stick to that narrow bridge of my life, And I'll use an example, which I think is important to understand. Today, you know, I'm sure many of our listeners, we did very good things. Maybe some of us today did some not great things, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the good things we did. I helped this person, right? I helped John. And you know, Sarah asked me for assistance. I helped her. So I helped two people today. That's a lot, right? Some people don't have anybody. But what if, to actually reveal my life, I needed to help Sam. I didn't help Sam because I knew it was going to take me 3 hours to help. You know, John took me 20 seconds, and to help Sarah took me 2 minutes. So I felt good about that, right? But I know helping Sam's going to take me 3 hours. I don't have 3 hours to spare a day, right? But in reality, my soul's purpose today was not to help Sarah, nor to help John, nor to help Sarah. It was actually to help Sam. So I think most of us don't compute life that way. We say, well, it was a good day. I helped a few people. I didn't help one person. It was too difficult for me, right?
So that's so hard, because how do you, are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting
that
prophecy.
You say yes to every
single thing. No, absolutely not.
In this Sam, case, Sarah, John,
you probably
Michelle,
should have said no to John and to Sarah and said
and
yes.
And you would know that if you were.
Exactly. If you were living a life, what I would call prophecy, but basically what that means. A life that is really being with that begins with a desire to be on the narrow path of my life, of my soul, and then getting the messages. If you were on the state of prophecy when you woke up this morning and you got the three texts, Sarah, John, you say, oh wow, Sam, it feels like Sam really needs my help today. And even though it's a more challenging one, it's a more difficult one, this is where I'm going to spend 3 hours.
Or right? Even if it's not right because they just checked in and I had these other people to meet, but that feeling. Yes, I hear you.
And unless, my point is that unless you have prophecy, unless you are asking to be directed by the divine plan for your soul, you're going to live a good life, but actually not your life.
Well, you know what the issue is as you were speaking, I was thinking about gymnastics. Because why? For a gymnast, right, they start at a very tender young age, And they are very clear what their goal is, right? If they want to be a professional gymnast and they want to go to the Olympics, they know there's a very, very narrow bridge to get from where they are to where they need to be. There's no deviating from that because the goal is super clear. They're very clear about where they're supposed to end up. I think the problem for most people in the world is it's not so clear, or maybe they think it's just too hard. So I'll be spiritual. At least I'm better than my neighbor, or better than the family I came from, or better than who I was 10 years ago. But could I really be like Jeremiah or Isaiah? Who's even thinking about Jeremiah and Isaiah, right? Or I think that's the main problem.
No, for sure.
That we're not clear what our end goal is.
Absolutely. And I think worse than
and
that.
Nor do we necessarily desire it, is what I'm
saying. Well, that's the second part. But the first part is I think where the main problem lies is that too many of us are not thinking about that narrow path. We think it's okay. It's actually beautiful. Just be this meandering spiritual person, you know, living life.
That's funny because when you said the narrow path and you talked about Rav Ashlag and the line, I actually got chills all over my body. Why? Because my soul is actually like, yeah, that's true. That's what we're in. Again, that's intuition too, right? My body actually just told me that that is truth that you heard and you must listen to it. I mean, of course, I'm already doing that, but I think it's those kinds of little things, right? But it's a really rethinking of
life.
What is your end goal?
And more importantly,
and it can't just be, I want this, and also this.
Yeah, I want to be careful with that phrase end goal, because for some people say, oh, I want to be famous. Right?
I meant end of life.
Right. Oh, end of life. Yeah, because like, well, some of the time, because I have no idea what my end goal is.
No, like, I mean, where you want to end up at the end.
Right. Because another distraction, and I unfortunately see this a lot. I know people who are quote unquote spiritual who want to, you know, be really famous in the spiritual world, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, the reality is that that desire is going to pull a person completely off. They might still be seen in the world as a spiritual person.
It can't
person.
Be what's leading them. They can't coexist because they're completely opposite.
Because the ego is there, and therefore there's no way he or she is going to be following the divine plan. But back, I just want to really underscore this because I think it's so important for many reasons, but certainly as it relates to our topic today of prophecy. I am asking our listeners to really take a moment and think about this idea. You know, how honestly have you been viewing, or have you been giving enough thought to your soul's path? And be honest with yourself and say, is it true that you saw it as this, you know, again, meandering, you know, narrow path that you could just, you know, mosey on along? The first step to living your soul's life, your soul's purpose, is by knowing that it's actually an exact one, number one, and not number two, is what you said, is desiring, actually desiring for that to be your life. You know, I use the example.
Well, people are afraid what they'd have to give up in order
right,
to do that.
Right. Hey, it's scary. It is scary on the one hand, but I use the example that some of our listeners might know, but there's a famous story in the Bible, in the Torah, about the Israelites in the desert. How did they decide where to go? How did they travel? Well, it says that there was this cloud. And whenever they would need to travel, the cloud would lift off the ground, and they would literally follow the cloud in the desert. Sometimes it took them, they would travel for a day, and sometimes for a week, and sometimes for a month, and the cloud rested, and they know, oh, this is where we stop. Now, there were spiritual reasons. There were what we call sparks of light that they needed to elevate, and that's where they're being taken
to
these places.
But irregardless, forget about why. The thing is, for a person to follow a cloud, and that's where they end up that day, or that's where their energy was going, like, that's a kind of certainty and trust.
Well, this is the but to your second point of it's going to be uncomfortable. You know, I often ask the question, wouldn't we want that? I know many of our listeners say, you know,
we're
at a decision point, you know, don't I want to be exactly what I want to be? Don't I want to marry exactly what I'm supposed to marry? Don't I want to do exactly what I'm supposed to do today? Everything we've spoken until now?
Everybody's going to say yes.
Everybody wants it, of
course.
And
what does that take?
Exactly. So imagine this group of about 3.5 million Israelites in the desert. The cloud goes down, right? So they know they need to park there they don't know for how long. They might sit there for an hour and the cloud gets up and they ought to leave. They might sit down there and they'll be there for a day, or they might be there for a week, or might be there for a month. They literally have no control.
That's the thing.
About how long they're staying there, how long they're walking for, how long they're camping for, how long they're moving for. And the only reason this actually happened for them, as it can happen for you and I and every one of our listeners, is to the degree that we're actually willing to do what it is that we're supposed to be doing. I think for many of us, like you said, we don't want to because it might be uncomfortable. This is not the right day for me, and so on and so forth.
But also, if you're kind of used to getting feedback and people liking you and telling you certain things and having that level of comfort and control in your life, you've set up your day exactly so you can receive those things that now you're dependent on in life, you might not want to give that up. If you knew, right, and you had this prophecy that you're supposed to, anytime somebody gives you any positive feedback, you reject it, you run from it, or you set yourself up so you don't hear, and you just give all day, right? People are now addicted to that need for external validation, absolutely, whatever you want to call it, right? So what we're talking about, if you want to get to this level and really hear and feel called to do what you must, you have to give up things that you actually enjoy,
absolutely,
in that way.
So we talk about three, I think it's three very important steps, and I want to talk about a fourth one if we can.
Yes, we are going to talk about the fourth.
Well, not the fourth level, the fourth step necessary to be able to truly receive prophecy. So first, we said it's to know that I have a narrow path for my soul, and I want, first of all, that it exists, and that's what I want.
And it's exact.
It's exact. Second, that I want to hear the message, call it prophecy, even if it's uncomfortable.
So desire.
So my desire for it, even though at times it will be uncomfortable, I want it. And third is, there's a verse in...
So you're saying this was a fourth, but it's actually a third.
Yes, I made a big mistake.
I just want everybody to be super clear. I don't want you to confuse them.
When I count, I do 1, 2, 4. I never count threes.
People are going to believe that about you.
Really? Why not? So third, opening your ear to hear the message. There's a verse in Psalms where King David says, I lent my ear, I bent my ear, right? There's this concept. It's also, we find this in Shakespeare, right? This idea that it's not enough to know that it's there. You're actually paying attention. So, for example, there's a teaching, an ancient teaching that says that every single day, there's a voice that comes forth from what's called Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, where the divine revelation occurred in the desert, and it goes to every single person, awakening them to change, to come closer to the light of the Creator. And one of the great Kabbalists, the Baal Shem Tov, asked the question. He says, "Why? Well, this is happening every single day, and it's coming to every single person. Why isn't everybody hearing it?"
And is it saying specifically what you know? What is the message?
Well, it's coming to awaken every single person in their own way,
in whatever way,
to change, to grow, to connect to the light of the Creator. So he says, yes, it's true that your soul is hearing that voice, but your conscious mind has to be bending its ear to listen to the divine message. So you can accept that your life is a narrow path and you want to live it, and that you're willing to be uncomfortable to get that message. But the prophecy won't come unless you're actually really starting to listen. What does that mean? That means if you understand that everything coming into your life is a message from the light of the Creator, and you really do the work, and this is a practice, a daily practice.
Choices every day.
Yeah. Right. What, by the way, in this, you get to a point where you realize there's more messages coming than I can even take in. But be open to that voice, to that calling. I'll share with you this, and this might be weird or not, but the point is, even the prophecy isn't always, and usually not actually, a conscious thought that comes, right?
No, it's
not. It's an internal awakening of inspiration. So for instance, today as I was preparing for this podcast, I was looking out, we have a tree that grows outside of our window in our office, and I literally felt the energy coming from the leaves were moving. And this is the idea. The idea is you start making yourself open. You know, whether
it's like Moana, honey.
Tell
the
me more, remind
the
me. Exactly.
Call me.
There you
I
go.
I don't know.
Keep going.
Where I go? No, I don't know. She sings way too high for me. It's a very inspiring song. I actually wanted to do a lecture with that concept. It's this. It's exactly this.
So, which leads me to a very important corollary to that, which is that we are supposed to be hearing what's called the speech or the speaking of the trees, of the leaves, of the birds. Meaning, when you go out or in the morning, you hear the beautiful chirping of the birds. That's not just a beautiful experience to have. They're actually sending you messages. And all you need to say at that point is not, oh, what's the answer to 1 + 1 = 2, right? Not that, oh, I have this decision to, but I want to be open to that.
Not according to Dr. Ellen Langer. It's not.
What do you mean?
1 + 1 = 2.
Right. Call back to a episode before. But again, but my point is that you have to make yourself open.
What's
to the call, to the call of nature. And now, then you also when somebody tells you, you know, we know this very often in the Zohar, that they would be walking and they needed an answer. They go to a child, say, "Tell me something."
Right.
And in those words, they'd have an answer. The more you open yourself up, or really lend your ear to listen to the trees, but not just listen to the beautiful rustling of the wind and the leaves, but rather knowing that there's a message here for you. And when you hear the birds chirping, it's not just listening to the birds, but you know that they're actually giving you energy, giving you a message. And you go throughout your life that this table that we're sitting on right now is here to give me a message today, different than yesterday. And you open yourself up, then you will see that inspiration, that prophecy, as we would call it.
Well, when was the last time the table spoke to you?
Right now.
What is it telling you?
That's my point. It's not about it saying, oh, hi, you know, but it's giving me an energy that I need for an answer that I might need in 5 minutes, right?
Okay. Whereas the table's making me feel hungry.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's maybe on your side. My side is giving me really deep spiritual awakenings.
Well, you know what's interesting? We were just at a wedding this past Sunday, and I don't know if you noticed, but at one point in the ceremony, one of the most important parts of the ceremony, it was an outdoor wedding, and the birds just in the bush right behind where you were standing, they started really getting very loud and speaking. I did. And I was wondering, I'm like, wonder what they're saying. And it was for the couple, I knew, but I don't speak bird.
And that, well, you need to start speaking bird. You just start, and this is the understanding for every one of our listeners. When we talk about prophecy, we're talking about learning.
But I was aware. I was aware exactly. That there was something going on there.
And what I would say, again, to add to that, not just there's something going on, right? That these birds are talking to me, right? That they're sending me energy. That the leaves are sending me energy. That this table is sending me a message. Why are you saying it sound crazy? Is that you have that look on your face? Well, that's okay. That's okay. Are you sending me a message now?
I mean, obviously, I agree with, but yeah, you sound a little bit nutty.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Well, again,
but the thing is to hear when you listen, it's interesting because, like, sometimes Abigail, especially in the morning, she'll talk really softly. She's just woken up. And I really, really want to understand what she's saying. So what I do is I lean in with my ear and everything else is still around me. I'm not here. I'm not paying attention to anything else. I'm not looking at anything else. I'm just open. And I think it's with that kind of awareness, right? And response to what's around you is
absolutely
what we're talking about. To
have. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not crazy.
No.
Okay, good. Well, again, I think it's really important for our listeners, right? This understand everything we've shared, but really.
Yeah, I think it's cute. You're getting all excited.
Yeah, I believe in this very strong.
I do too.
And I just want to.
But there's one more level too,
which we're not going to get to today.
Well, you can't. You have to at least say what it is.
Okay. The highest level. Now, I do want to say this one thing before that, unless you're following these 3 steps, and gaining it, what we're calling that prophecy, and hopefully our listeners understand on a deeper level what that means, then it's unlikely that you're actually going to live your life's plan, your true life's plan. So this isn't just, a nice thing, it speaks to me, it doesn't speak to me. This is actually a necessary skill of prophecy that every one of our listeners needs. I need it, you need it, every one of our listeners needs, and needs to develop it. In order to make sure that we're following the narrow path.
What a gift, right? That we have, that the universe is set up in a way to conspire for us, to help us. And we just have to learn to pay attention to the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So quickly.
Okay, so 4 is divine thought of the creator. This one's really tricky because it means being completely in tune 100% of the time with this light. When you've achieved level 4, you're a person who does not have one thought or one desire that's not completely in tune with the light of the creator, which means you need to remove your desire to receive for the self
alone. Your ego.
Exactly.
Right. So again, I think this is a very high level.
And I think we've all experienced 1,
exactly.
Some 2 and 3.
But also maybe
probably more 2.
Maybe moments of 4. But so I just want to explain a little bit. Maybe at another point, another time, we'll go more deeply into it. But, you know, there's a phrase that the Kabbalists use, which is you can be either like in your relationship with the light of the creator as a master to a servant to a master, which means, you know, the master tells the servant, I want you to bring water. He goes, brings word. It's not his own thought, but he's a devout servant. So he'll follow every message that the master gives him, he'll follow. And I think most of us are, you know, hopefully in level three of prophecy is in that state where you're getting the message, you're doing it because you really want to do it, like we've spoken until now. The highest level, the fourth level, as it's called to, is like a man or woman, a person with their mind, right? If I have an itch on my shoulder, my mind doesn't say to my hand, hey, hand, I have an itch there, can you please scratch it? And then my hand gets the message, right? Another thing, I'm crazy. good. I think that's the bottom line of this. I'm losing my mind.
God forbid, I'm really enjoying myself. Oh, good, it's good, entertaining good. For me.
Right, so that level of a person with their thoughts is actually the ultimate state of spiritual existence, where it's not that I hear the message from, or what we call prophecy, and then do what the divine plan is for my soul, but rather actually it's
immediate.
It's not, you can't even say immediate, it's one and the same.
It's one.
When the light of the Creator desires me to say something, I say it, because that is all the only thought that goes through me. When the light of the Creator wants me to help somebody, that automatically happens. It's an automatic.
There's no separation between you
and the divine thought. And again, this is a high level, and I think at times, probably many of us have felt it at times, but I think it is important to understand that that's the ultimate state to which we need to go to. But I'd be very happy if, as an effect of our podcast today, our listeners start working on the state that's called prophecy.
Yeah, I've certainly had moments like that. It's a hard place to get to, but when you are one with the Creator like that, nothing feels as powerful, purposeful, whole, complete as that. I think the closest, I think that the times I felt that was in labor, especially with Abigail. It was just not, I was not even, I felt like my body was just a vehicle, and I was a soul, and the Creator and Abigail's soul, and it was just a complete light. It wasn't, it's different. And she was the fourth, so it's not, you know, they're not always like that, but yeah.
Beautiful. So, before we conclude, I'd like to share with our listeners an email that we received from one of our listeners. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this inspires all of our listeners to send their inspirations. This is an idea that one of our listeners, Raquel, has for our listeners. And just as an inspiration, that you can inspire our listeners by sending your ideas, questions, comments, stories to Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. So Raquel writes, "Hi, Monica and Michael. I have a journaling practice that has been very healing for me. It's called Journal Speak, and in a nutshell, it entails writing down anything and everything that is coming up, either good, bad, nasty, the most impermissible thoughts, purge it all, and then shred, delete, burn, or destroy. If you want to learn more about it, check out Nicole Sachs and The Cure for Chronic Pain. My dilemma with this, am I engaging in evil speech with this journaling practice? I would love to hear your opinion on this. Love the podcast. Thank you for giving us so much great content. Much love." Do you have an answer?
Yeah, I mean, it's not evil speech. You're getting it out of you. It's better having those thoughts out and down, and then you're burning them. So, I mean, I wrote about a similar practice in Fear is Not an Option, about how you write down your fear, you burn it. Because there's an energy when you burn things away. It removes
It's actually that. An ancient Kabbalistic process, right? Especially if again around fears, like you said.
Correct. So no, write and burn away. I think it's just an exercise to get clear about where your thoughts are and if they're supportive and healthy or if they're not. So I think it's good.
Nice. And thank you, Raquel, for sharing that with us and our listeners. One more. This is actually from Apple Podcasts, from one of our listeners. "The Soul's Desire episode was so thought-provoking that I listened to it twice. Mm-hmm. This podcast is such a great gift. It challenges me to think differently and grow. Thank you."
Love that.
So thank you. And again, hopefully we've inspired our listeners through the podcast, but more importantly, through the letters and reviews that we share with our listeners from other listeners. So please go to Apple Podcasts, write 5-star reviews, share this podcast with everybody you know, and send your questions, comments, stories, inspirations to Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. And as always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Stay spiritually hungry.